to continue on with the awareness of surrender, because in centering prayer, surrender is a key component to really becoming at one with God. Our mind, as I mentioned in the previous part one, our mind struggles with God. We want to understand God with our mind, but God actually speaks to our heart. The heart then communicates to the mind what God is saying. But often, because we don't understand that, we are trying to intellectually grasp what God is doing, how he's doing it. And then that's where we make mistakes. You know, we have this intimate time with God, and then we try to analyze that and make it step 1 through 7 on 7 easy ways to connect with God. And it doesn't work that way. It works by surrendering. And then in surrender, another precious element of surrender is awareness. So when you're surrendering to God, you're becoming aware of the moment, living in that moment, not what you're doing tomorrow, not what happened yesterday, but you're coming alive in this moment. Then the trees become more vibrant. Everything starts to light up because God is in everything. The Bible says God is present in everything, absent in nothing. So when you're in your car, he's in your car. He is in the seat beside you. He's in you. He's in the sky. He's everywhere. So as you surrender, you're able to become aware of the intimacy, the closeness God has with you at all times. But the only way we can really track that or resonate with that is in our heart. That's why centering prayer is so critical to really moving into this area. The mind can never get there, only the heart. So that's why when you drop into centering prayer, those boats on the top of the water are just going 1,000 miles an hour to capture your attention, to keep you occupied, to keep you going, so that you don't drop down into the richness and the realness of God. So what ends up happening? I'm going to throw out some stuff, and maybe it'll stir up some questions or comments, but this is intended to enrich your prayer time, your intimacy with God. I think most people, including me for a long time, I've just done a sleepwalk through life. I'm not really at one with the living God. I'm just sleepwalking, never really waking up. And so when I say wake up to the presence of God that is within me. For years, the songs that we would sing and how my mind worked. Even I went to seminary. Everything seemed to place God out there and me here. They would say Christ is in you, the hope of glory, but I didn't quite understand. I mean, I knew it was true, but how is that true? So in centering prayer, it opens a whole wealth of understanding that God really is in me. It's as Rob was saying last week, ye are God's. It's true. God is in you. That doesn't mean you're the infinite God, but God is absolutely in you. He never leaves. But when I'm sleepwalking, I tend to put God out there. And then when I'm praying, I'm asking God to come, come, come. And he's trying to say, I'm here. I never left. I've always been in you. So when you can begin to kind of come to terms with that, part of your sleepwalking becomes disrupted. Another way of saying it, Paul, in the New Testament, Paul is saying, I write unto you, babes, I write unto you, young men, I write unto you, fathers. And he says something that just jumped out at me this week. I write unto you, fathers, who have known me from the beginning. Wow, how does that work? So if God is in me, he's the beginning and the ending. A father's heart is coming in complete alignment with God. Babes, on the other hand, and I was there forever and a day, so I speak to myself. Babes are in kindergarten. They enjoy kindergarten because everything is done for them. If they break a toy, it's fixed. If they cry, their diaper is changed. Whatever is going on, things are done to make their life as happy as possible. But the truth is, if I really want to move into the things of God, I can't live like a baby all my life. That stage is critical in the beginning. But I can't stay there. I can't expect everything just to be done for me, because Jesus made it clear, in this life, you've got problems. My belief when I was growing up, and I think I mentioned it last time, is if I can do everything just right, I'm above problems. I'm above trouble. It's like I have a magic wand in the name of Jesus, and it's done. But Jesus said, in this life that you're living, there will be perplexities. There will be opposition. There will be trouble. So then my mind doesn't know what to do with that. My heart does. When troubles come and I'm living in my heart, I'm okay. I just drop with it and say, God's in charge. This wasn't a surprise to him. He knew this was coming. I'm okay. Instead of fighting it, resisting it, pushing back, commanding it to be gone, I drop into it and just be at one with God. Isn't that what Jesus did? Constantly slipped away to be with the Father, to get that alignment, to make sure, because if his ego was going to be scratched, there was many times the crowds were just allotting him and praising him and scratching the ego. And I wrote down different scriptures. Jesus said, he said to the people, and this is John 5:19, I tell you for certain, the Son cannot do anything on his own. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, and he does exactly what he sees the Father do. And this is repeated over and over. John 5:19, John 5:30, John 6:38, John 8:28. All of them basically say the same thing. He is emphasizing over and over to the disciples to begin with, but to anyone else who has ears to hear, you have to drop down into the Father. Centering prayer is the door that allows us to do that. Why do I press that? Because our mind wants to take over, analyze, figure out, and then run with it instead of dropping down into the deepness and richness of what God has for us. So Jesus, as our example, slipped away, got into that quietness. And that's why we really delight. I delight in getting along with God. There's times I really wish I could stay longer, because you sense this place of oneness with God, oneness with just everything. And it's amazing. But we need to also reflect him in this life. And so we can't just hide ourselves away. We need to truly walk this out. The mind is at enmity with God. Romans 8:7 is clear that this mind is at war with God. And yet, how often do we rely upon the mind to figure out the way of God? And I think this is where many times you and I have struggled as we walk our life with God, is we keep trying to know in the mind the way God does stuff. And it's too hard. You know, the way of the Spirit is not the way of the flesh, the mind. And yet we work hard at that. I mean, we press. So, I mean, I think back just this past week, my business, I'm really, really wanting it to do well. And Monday and Tuesday, it's not going the way I really want. So, and I'm trying to tell God, remember, you started this business, you put this in my, I'm reminding God of everything he knows. And how stupid is that? But I do it anyway. So I'm reminding God, and then all of a sudden I get this awareness, right? If he's in charge, he's in charge. Chill. Stop it. Because what's going on is my mind is getting filled with fear, anxiety, prejudices, ego. I'm wanting to look good. I'm wanting Rob to be happy that he partnered up with me and he never made a mistake. So when those things are at work in us, we're in trouble. There is no dependence upon God. All our dependence has gone to the mind and how we're going to figure this out and make it work and slap Jesus' name on it. You have to become aware and drop down. It's like, God said, do you believe it? I think of Joseph. He got a dream, and I mentioned it last time, but he is such an incredible example. God gave him an awareness of what was going to happen in the future. He didn't tell him, by the way, along the way, you're going to be hated by your brothers, sold as a slave. Oh, by the way, you're going to be a model servant. But Potiphar's wife is going to lie about you, get you thrown in prison for years. By the way, guys in prison are going to lie to you. They're going to tell you that they will remember you and they forget you. But down the road, I'm going to elevate you to vice president. Are you okay with that? What I get out of the scripture about Joseph, he was surrendered. I don't see attitude. I don't see poor me. I don't see someone trying to remind God. I see somebody accepting every day and living for God with all of his life.
Wow.
Beautiful. And then God elevates him at the right time. And he becomes the salvation of his nation. Not only his nation, he saves Egypt as well by coming up with the plan of saving during prosperity, so when famine came, and does not God know all of those things, and can he not let us see these things? But it really comes into awareness, which comes out of centering prayer. I cannot be aware of the intimacy of God unless I'm in centering prayer. That's where the mind stays on top of the water and I get to drop down to the bottom and just rest in the presence of God. And in this awareness, even when things seem to be going against me, I'm at peace because I know God is in control. So when adversity comes, I'm not reacting. I'm just trying to be at one with the living God. It's such a powerful thing. Awareness helps us get rid of our prejudices, get rid of our boxes. We have boxes that separate us from others. You know, one thing that has really blessed me and yet surprised me, my parents were never a judgmental type people, so they didn't pass that on to me. And yet I found, as I was a pastor and I would listen to a little bit of my conversations, I found that there was some judgment in me, maybe a lot. I'm trying to say there was a little. It's probably a ton of judgment in me that I didn't even know about. But one of the most wonderful things God has done for me, as I've spent time in centering prayer, judgment is evaporating. When things happen, I stop judging them. Well, I know why that happened to them. They're a sinner. Well, I know why that happened. They didn't have enough faith. Well, I know what, you know, I don't do that anymore. I just leave it with God and pray for them. But I have found this freedom in my heart, in my mind, that it goes up to my mind. And if anything, I have more compassion for humanity than I ever have before. Nothing I could conjure up myself. But again, I think this comes back to what Paul was saying. I read unto your fathers. You knew him from the beginning. To have the Father's heart is full of compassion and love for a world that he created and everything in it. And I think centering prayer is that door that leads us to that oneness and intimacy. But be aware, the mind will pop up all of, what about this? What about the Bible says this? What are you denying God? Are you? No. But if you're really going to drop into the realness of God, you have to turn those things over to him and trust him. That's another thing that the centering prayer does. It really deepens your trust. I don't know. What's my time? We probably should stop.
You got 3 more minutes if you want to say other stuff. Okay. I could stop if you want.
Okay, one other thing then. I do have one other thing. And this touches me. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. And he said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, sell everything. Come follow me. He might could have said, and this is just me paraphrasing, let go of everything you've got your trust in.
Wow.
Drop into centering prayer and be with me.
Wow.
Wow. Now we see what we really trust. Centering prayer, awareness, because I think when you're in centering prayer, awareness is just the twin of that. Centering prayer rids you of all of these things that interfere with being at one with God. And you really realize the true goal, the true riches, the true value is being at one with the Father. And you just stop performing. I don't mean how many times I have performed because I'm trying to please people. And pleasing people leads down a bad road. But it also helps your pride and your ego. But if you just let go of those things, what the world really needs, what our friends, what our neighbors, what everyone really needs is the authenticity of God being free to live in us. And I think that's what centering prayer opens the door for us to do, is to become more authentic and more real and more loving and caring and compassionate. I'm on a journey. I'm being transformed. I'm far from where I hope to be, but I am so thankful to have this opportunity to know God this way. So I'll stop there.
I think it's awesome. I just want to sneak into the picture here and say that, wow. Let's practice that now together as we do the centering prayer. It puts a whole new spin on it. It's moving into our hearts, which is moving into the knowledge of where the Father is. And by doing that, letting go of our thoughts and surrendering all the stuff that we're trying to do. I mean, I think that's basically what you're saying. So What better than to do that right now?